The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And at this time, I want to welcome our podcast audience and welcome our YouTube audience as well. Today, I want to be dealing with the subject called, Are we about to see another harbinger? Again, we're going to be talking about today, are we about to see another harbinger? So we're going to get into some heavy stuff here this morning. I do believe for you guys who like this kind of content, you're going to enjoy this. So let's get started on this thing. this headline made news by multiple outlets, a rare event, and this has been deemed a rare event in the heavens that is taking place just ahead of Christmas, on at least on our calendar, will feature an alignment of planets that at least one famous astronomer has believed was the phenomenon that is mentioned in the Bible when Jesus Christ was born. Now, without getting into the whole debate of whether Jesus was born on Christmas or whether he was born in the fall months, that's not the preference of the, that's not what we really want to highlight today. So I don't want to get into that whole rabbit trail of that. But nevertheless, this alignment of Jupiter and Saturn is scheduled to appear in the skies on December 21st. And then here's the headline for this, by the way. Again, this was from the Blaze Network. And you can see the headline here. Days before Christmas, Jupiter and Saturn will look like one bright star. And some believe the alignment is the same described in the Bible. The last time this rare alignment of the planets was this close was in 1623, nearly 400 years ago. Now, some reports put it at 800 years ago. So there's a time gap of 400 to 800 years. But nevertheless, guys, that's a long time, which was only 14 years after Galileo discovered the moons of Jupiter with the invention of the telescope. Another famous astronomer, Kepler, posited in 1614 that the alignment of the two planets might have been what was reported in the nativity story of Christ in the Bible. So this is, how many believes this is a big event, guys? This is not common. This is not normal. This is a, again, I quote, a rare event that has not taken place in at least 400 to 800 years. The planets aligned in 7 BC of this nature around the time that Christ was born. The account in the Gospel of Matthew says that the wise men came to Jerusalem to seek birth of the King of the Jews after seeing a bright star in the sky. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child, until they see the young child. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. There's much debate, and I'm giving you I'm reading part of these, an excerpt of this article from The Blaze. There's much debate among theologians and Christians as to whether the bright star in the sky was a natural phenomenon or a supernatural event. Whether the star was the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn or not, the rare sight will be visible to those in the northern hemisphere shortly after sunset in the southwestern sky. The conjunction will dip under the horizon after a few hours. Again, December 21st, mark your calendars. Whether you believe this is a supernatural event, a harbinger, a sign, I believe it's a sign in the sun, moon, and stars, and we're going to talk about that in a second. It's an event that's captured the attention of the world, nevertheless. But other media outlets have reported a different take on this. I want to give you this headline. Sorry, not that one. Here we go. This was from The Express. This is a UK affiliate. They reported end of the world predicted to strike days before Christmas as rare space event sparks fear. Doomsday predictions centered around the Mayan calendar have falsely pinned the end of the world on numerous occasions, according to Express. beginning with the 2012 phenomenon. December 21st, 2012 was regarded as the end of the world and the end of a 5,126-year-long cycle, according to the what was believed to be the Mayans. But some suggested that that date marked the apocalypse, with various theories ranging from the arrival of the next solar maximum, an interaction between Earth and a supermassive black hole, a collision with the mythical planet called Planet X or Nibiru. Scholars from numerous outlets quickly dismissed predictions of cataclysmic events as they arose, but that did not stop the sensational theories. And here we are once again, thanks to, again, this rare celestial event that will take place on December 21st, 2020. Some have stated that this could very well begin the days of doomsday predicted in the Bible, or the apocalypse. One pastor, Paul Begley, and I'm sure most of you guys who follow our ministry are probably familiar with Paul Begley. Again, I don't have anything against him. They quoted him, so I'm going to quote him here. He believes it is a recipe for disaster for life on Earth. He claimed, quote, "It will be the closest Jupiter and Saturn have been since 1623, and it won't even come close again for another 500 years. So this is a so rare of an event, and it's going to be on the winter solstice, and it's going to be on the 21st of December. The Mayans are now reorganizing and saying this could certainly be the end of the world as we know it." Well, I don't agree with that. I do not believe that December 21st is going to be the end of the world. The Bible, Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour. So we can mark that off and chalk that off as it's not going to be the end of the world. However, I do want to point this out. Let's get into this thing. If you don't mind, we're going to dig a little deep this morning and talk about this. I want to show you one of the major indicators of the Lord's return is indeed painted right above us in the skies. In fact, Jesus tells us to watch for signs as indicators of his return. And in Luke 21:25, I know that's not what you see up on your screen, but I want to read this, Luke 21:25, and then we'll read that verse right there in Genesis 1:14. Jesus said there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. So sun, moon, stars. He said there will be signs. So let's break this down. You go all the way back to the beginning, the first book of the Torah, which is Genesis. In Genesis 1:14, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens the day," and that's a typo there. It should be saying, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years." Somebody say signs and seasons. You can see that in Genesis 1:14. I'm going to break this down. The word here for sign or signs is the Hebrew word meaning a signal, a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen, a prodigy, or evidence. I want to say that again. He said there will be signs, plural tense, not a sign, but signs in the heavens, in the sky, above, in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Keep that in mind. And this Hebrew word means it'll be a signal, a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen, a prodigy, or evidence. So all these, he said, will be found prior to the coming of the Lord, will be found in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then he said in Genesis 1:14, he said, these will be for signs and seasons. The word seasons here is the Hebrew word modim, and it means festivals, or literally means appointed times. This is so powerful, guys. So there, God. So we may think this is phenomenal, and we may think this is amazing that this planetary conjunction is taking place, and it hasn't happened since what some scholars are saying all the way back to the time of the appearance of the Messiah when he was born. But guys, this may be something that's phenomenal to us, but to God, it's not an accident. For unto God, there's for every purpose and every season, there's a purpose and a plan for every season, modim, under heaven. So God literally has set these appointed times. Now, what does that mean for us? Those who have the discernment, like the sons of Issachar, will look and see these things, and we will begin to seek the Lord, and we'll begin to understand what the Lord is speaking to us. Think about it, guys. There was the wise men that when they saw this celestial event that took place in the heavens, they saw it as a sign. Come on. They saw it as a beacon, a monument, a prodigy, or evidence that God was doing supernatural things on the earth. And they said, all right, boy, and I'm rephrasing this. They said, all right, boys, something supernatural is happening over there. And we need to go over there. We need to follow this sign in the heavens because something is happening and something is about to take place. And God literally put that up as a modim or an appointed time. In the Hebrew lexicon, it points out that this is interesting to me. This word literally for seasons means a sign, a token, signs and times. It is used as a military ensign or a sign of something past and a sign of something future. That's very important when I get deeper into this study today. And the word seasons here, that was for times, seasons here, strong concordance, an appointed or fixed time, season, or festival. Jesus Christ himself refer to the days before his second coming that there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. That's Luke 21:11. Again, Luke 21:11. He went on to say, and there will be signs, plural tense, in the sun and the moon and the stars. And then he even mentioned immediately, quote, after the tribulation of the day of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven. Again, he mentions all three of these celestial bodies. Now watch this. And then you go to Hebrews 12 and Haggai 2. He talks about there'll be the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. That's Matthew 24:29-31. So this is very interesting. So I'm going to ask you a question. Is God sending signs in the heavens before he carries out mighty works in the earth? The answer is absolutely yes. And again, for those who have discernment, you will know this. Even in Joel 2:31, he says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. I'm going to skip over some of this because I want to get into, let's begin with the sun. I said there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. According to rabbis, rabbinical teaching teaches that solar eclipses, and some of you have heard this before, but there's a lot of new people here, so just bear with me. Solar eclipses are a bad omen or a sign or indicators for future war, trouble, and events in relation to Gentile nations. However, lunar eclipses or blood moons are bad omens or indicators or signs for the nation of Israel, especially if they occur on Jewish feast days. Because remember, God calls these appointed times. So when you have a blood moon in the sky that's taking place on God's calendar of appointed times, you better be paying attention. And I'm going to read this from a different translation. And God went on to say that let the luminaries come to be in the expense of the heavens to make a division between the day and the night, and they must serve as signs and for seasons and for days and years, and they must serve as luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to shine upon the earth. And it came to be so. And God proceeded to make the great luminaries, the greater luminary for dominating the day, and the lesser luminary for dominating the night, and also the stars. Thus, God put them in the expanse of the heavens to shine upon the earth and to dominate by day and by night and to make a division between light and the darkness. Then God said, or God saw that it was good, and there came to be evening and there came to be morning, a fourth day. So these luminaries perform the following function according to the book of Genesis. Number one, they divide the day from the night. Number two, they serve as signs, and we've went over that. Number three, they define seasons and days and years. And number four is to give, they shine upon the earth. All right, so watch this. Let's talk about solar eclipses. I want to talk about, let me pull up a little graphic here so that you can get a little bit, won't make it as boring as looking at me the whole time while I'm talking here. Rabbinical teaches that a solar eclipse is an omen for the world, or especially the Gentile nations. And when the luminaries are in eclipse or a lunar eclipse has occurred, a blood moon, it is an omen for Israel. All right. So twice in the 20th century, there were seven total eclipses. In the years 1917 and 1973 were filled with prophetic implications. Now watch this. Let's get into this. During the seven eclipses that occurred in 1917, seven eclipses, here's what happened. The Russian Revolution occurred, introduced communism, and World War I was coming to an end. In December of 1917, the seventh eclipse coincided with General Allenby liberating Jerusalem from 400 years of Turkish rule. It's interesting. Remember the number 400 years, because this is going to come up. It's come up. Again, some scholars believe this planetary conjunction has not happened since 400 years ago. Here you have this 400 years again where Jerusalem was liberated from Turkish rule. And I'm going to mention 400 years again here in just a little bit. So it's interesting how this time frame is coming up. The Balfour Declaration was signed, giving the Jews access back to to Palestine during the seven total solar eclipses in 1973. That was, again, remember 1917, 1973, you had the sensation of solar eclipses that took place. Also during that time frame, the Yom Kippur war occurred, which this is the six-day war, which could have destroyed Israel, the Arab oil embargo that impacted America and the West. 28 nations suffered from drought in that time frame. History's largest explosion occurred on the surface of the sun. And listen to number seven, America's U.S. Supreme Court passed the law of Roe versus Wade, opened the door again to millions of unborn children being killed. And when did that happen? 1973. What am I talking about? I'm talking about solar eclipses occurred from 1917 all the way to 1973. And all these events took place during that time frame. Then we had total solar eclipses that occurred in 2008. On August 1st, 2008, there was a solar eclipse. And during that time frame, Cyprus and Malta adopt the euro, joining 13 other European countries using a single currency. And by the way, this is when Obama was president. He came into office in 2008. Property prices continue to fall on both sides of the Atlantic in Europe and America, causing hardship to homeowners and problems for the financial institutions. Bank of America took over the country's largest mortgage lender, Countrywide Financial, which was rumored to be close to bankruptcy in a $4 billion deal. Citigroup, the nation's largest bank, joined a number of other high-profile financial institutions, reported a fourth-quarter loss of $9.83 billion. President Bush and House leaders agreed to a $150 billion stimulus package. We went into the Great Recession. estimates of a that came out put the cost at the war in Iraq at $3 trillion. Severe thunderstorms, tornadoes swept through Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, Alabama, led massive damage. UK experienced the largest earthquake in 25 years. Are you listening to me? Governments around the world continue to face problems of increased oil prices, inflation, employment increases. Tropical cyclone devastated parts of Burma, leaving 50,000 dead. A 7.8 earthquake struck struck in Asia, leaving 60,000 dead, 5 million homeless. President Bush signed a bailout. Again, in summary, 2008 went down as one of the turn of America's economy, and others began slowly to trickle overseas, and it marked an increase in intensity of natural disasters worldwide. From that point on, it was an uptick. Boom. Then we fast forward to July 22nd, 2009. Another solar eclipse, ongoing financial crisis and recession that began in 2007 was really hit hard in 2008, continued, which and was deemed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression of the 1930s. And during this time frame, governments in the U.S. and around the world pumped trillions of dollars into the financial system and into the economies, hoping to avert another Great Depression. And by the end of 2009, although unemployment had continued to increase, markets had recovered and most thought the worst was over. Listen to this. Listen to me. The World Health Organization declared H1N1, commonly referred as the swine flu, a global pandemic, occurred during right after a solar eclipse right after July 22nd, 2009. On June 7th, 2011, listen, I'm talking about signs in the sun. On June 7th, 2011, the sun unleashed a massive solar storm that produced a magnetic plasma that appeared to rain back down over half of the sun's entire surface. NASA scientists say that, quote, again, this was a solar astrophysicist at NASA's Space Flight Center, who runs a website called The Sun Today. In a video, he described the event that, quote, "I've just never seen material like this before." And what was amazing about this, again, this occurred on June 7th, 2011, exactly 44 years prior to that event. On June 7th, 1967, I'm going to read this. Listen what happened. This is what happened on that day, 44 years prior to that event. And by the way, the number four is a word. The number four actually represents chaos, disaster, destruction, disorder. It's a chaotic number. So when you got 44, very interesting. This morning, the Israel Defense Forces liberated Jerusalem. We have united Jerusalem, the divided capital of Israel. Again, I'm reading to you. This happened June 7th, 1967. This was the Six-Day War. We have returned to the holiest of our holy places, never to part from it again. To our Arab neighbors, we extend also at this hour, and with added emphasis at this hour, our hand in peace. And to our Christian and Muslim fellow citizens, we solemnly promise full religious freedoms and rights. We did not come to Jerusalem for the sake of other people's holy places and not to interfere with the adherents of other faiths, but in order to safeguard its entirety and to live there together with others in unity. Again, are you kidding me? Again, Jesus said these will be for appointed times, appointed seasons, past, present, and future. Now, let's get closer. Now I'm going to get into some really heavy stuff. Watch this. Let me pull this up here real quick, guys. Another unique event occurred just 3 years ago on August 21st, 2017. What you see right there on your screen, the first part of that took place. A total solar eclipse crossed America from the Pacific Northwest to the Southeast. And though there's been partial eclipses of the sun in recent years, a total solar eclipse visible to this many people in the United States is rare. I said it's rare. Some said that this was the first total eclipse to cross the entire continent. Now, this blew me away. When I read this, when I was putting this together in the research, this put a chill up my spine. I want to read this really slow. So I want you to let this set in. Several said that this was the first total eclipse. This is the one on August 21st, 2017, that went again from stretched from the Pacific Northwest to the Southeast, was visible to so many people, it was considered a rarity. And several said this was the first total eclipse to cross the entire continent. You ready for this? Since 1918. Now, why is that interesting? Why is 1918 interesting? Because that happened to be the year that the Spanish flu pandemic absolutely crippled the world. Are you kidding me? A sign in the sun took place on our time frame, August 21st, 2017. Because listen, why am I saying this? Let me pull this off here for a second. I want you to listen to me for a second, because you got all the naysayers, you got all the hecklers and the doubters and the refuters and the people that want to get on here and say, here we go again with these guys that are talking about the signs and the sun and moon and stars. I saw them heckle John Hagee, and they heckled Jonathan Kahn, and they heckled Mark Fields, and they heckled anybody that taught on the signs and the sun, moon, and stars, and they bashed them, criticized them, mocked them. Listen, and all it is an absolute public display of ignorance on their part, because here's the deal. Here's what you need to understand. Just because a solar eclipse took place on this time frame, on this year, and, quote, nothing happened, doesn't mean it is still not a warning. It doesn't mean it's not an omen. It doesn't mean it's an appointed time. It doesn't mean that it's not a harbinger. Because again, these signs in the sun, moon, and stars could represent things that could be happening present tense. It can point to things that's happened in past tense. It's really good. It'll highlight that, or it's a harbinger of things to come. So isn't it interesting? I think it's interesting that 3 years ago, this took place, and everybody took the internet. They took to the blogs, they took to Facebook, and they took to Twitter, and they went on Christian television, and they criticized, and they mocked, and they slammed every prophetic watchman, every teacher, and every minister that warned them that, guys, when these events are happening, you need to pay attention. Something's coming. Well, isn't it interesting that 3 years ago, we had this rare eclipse that stretched from the Pacific Northwest to the Southeast that was considered a rarity. And it just so happens that it happened 3 years ago. Nothing, quote unquote, happened for a space of time. And people just began to say, oh, see, that was all a bunch of malarkey. It was all a bunch of hogwash. It was all a scam or a sham, and nothing. It didn't mean anything. Well, isn't it interesting? Come on, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Here we are, fast forward 3 years ago, and it just so happened that this eclipse had not happened on this level since 1918. And here we are 3 years later, and we're in a quote-unquote pandemic that many epidemiologists, people at CDC, World Health Organization experts are comparing, and I don't believe it's comparable to the Spanish flu or the Asian flu, but here we are, 1918. How that may not do anything to you, but that to me is phenomenal. Again, 1918. Wow. This interesting, and by the way, let me go back. I want to pull this back. I want you to look at this screen. You say, why is there an X across it? Because we were just talking about this one line that came through. Okay, here's why. 7 years from 2017, is 2024. Somebody say 2024. On April 8th, 2024, another total solar eclipse will cross America. And this time, it's going to go the opposite direction. And it's going to stretch straight across, and it's going to form an X completely over the United States of America that you see right there on your screen. And I'm just going to throw this out there, and I think this is interesting. You can do what you want with it. But when you ever heard of the phrase, X marks the spot? X marks the spot. When you go and you take your finger and you put your finger right there on your screen where that X is, do you know where that X is located on the United States of America? It's on what's called the New Madrid fault line. You've heard me. I don't want to elaborate on this because I've done probably four different segments in which I've talked about this. It's right on an area called the New Madrid fault line, which is a major fault line right there in the heartland of America that blew in 1812. And this earth, it was a series of earthquakes. I believe it was 3 to 4 earthquakes. And they were so powerful on the Richter scale that they actually caused the Mississippi River to run backwards. It caused geysers to form. It caused lakes to form. It changed the very demographics of some locations in this area. And they have warned that it's not a matter of if, but when this happens again on that magnitude, thousands will die. But let me throw out some more stuff that you're going to find fascinating. When I did research on this, I discovered that, and I've said this before, if these are harbingers, let's just slow down, guys, and take a break for a second. Let's slow it down and let's talk about this for a second. Remember, Jesus said that there would be signs in the sun, moon, and stars prior to the coming of the Lord. These would be indicators. They would be harbingers. I have said before that America is not exempt from judgment. America is no different than the nation of Israel. When we go the way of Israel, we reap the ways of Israel. If we follow the Lord, we'll be blessed. If we despise the Lord and we begin to take up idols, we turn into idolatry and we turn away from the Lord, we will go into captivity and we will diminish and we will be wiped out as a nation as we know it. What's interesting, now we've talked about present, we've talked about future. Let's take a little step back into the past. I want to talk about Nineveh. In the book of Jonah, it's interesting to point out that three things happen prior to the moment where Jonah, remember, your Bible says that Jonah was instructed of the Lord to go to Nineveh and warn Nineveh that judgment was about to come because of the wickedness, because of the abominations, because they turned from God. They were doing all these things that was detestable in the sight of God. And God sent them a prophet and warned them, and he gave them a space to repent. In fact, it was 40 days, which 40, the number 40 and 40 days is referenced in one of the feasts it's recognized as the teshuvah, or the season of repentance, or to turn. The word teshuvah means to turn or to repent or to come back to God. So many scholars point that during this time frame that Jonah showed up to Nineveh, it was more than likely during this time frame because they understood this. But three things happened prior to the Nineveh moment. This is going to blow you away if you've never heard this. Number one, according to history, there was a plague. There was a second civil war that hit, and there was a third eclipse. Golly, I got to say it again. There was an eclipse, a plague, and a civil war. So let's say it like this. There was a sign in the heavens. There was a plague in the earth, and a second civil war broke out. Are you listening to what I'm telling you today? This solar eclipse was said to occur on June 15, 763 BC, 1 month or 30 days prior to the arrival of Jonah to call forth repentance to Nineveh. So think about this. Before Jonah arrived to Nineveh, a solar eclipse happened in the heavens. A plague broke out and a civil war broke out. After those who had discernment and feared the Lord, obviously, when they saw these events take place and Nineveh called repentance, the Bible says from the king to the least of them repented in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, that we would have a people. Friends, if we are seeing yet another harbinger take place, if we're about to see what we're seeing on December 21st, what if, can I just throw this out there? What if this is yet another harbinger? And by the way, again, just at the time of this, we're still in 2020, but we're about to get into 2021, which is going to leave us about 3 years until we have this other major solar eclipse that's going to go across America and form that X. And I told you, according to rabbinical understanding, solar eclipses are a harbinger or an omen to who? Gentile nations. Is God trying to get our attention? Remember Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." Remember, there was three cities in the New Testament in which Jesus rebuked them because they would not repent. They would not accept the Lord. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Capernaum. Are there prophets today saying, woe unto you, America? Listen, I don't know what we're about to see on a governmental platform. Listen, I am not one of those, and you guys know this. I have never come out publicly and said that this candidate's going to win or that candidate's going to win. Because if I didn't hear from the Lord, I'm definitely not going to tell you this or that. So I can't sit here and tell you that Trump is going to win, or I can't tell you for sure Biden's going to win. But I'm going to tell you this. If this thing goes a certain way, then God could very well, remember, God is the one who appoints kings and he sets down kings. So God already knows the end from the beginning. Come on, he's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, he which was, which is, and which is to come. So God already knows who the president of the United States of America is going to be. He already knows. So could he be warning civilization? Now, I want to give you a redemptive hope here. I'm not done yet anyway, guys. I still got more to go, but I want to give you this redemptive hope real quick. This is not to say, because remember, he told Nineveh, or he told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Tell them to repent or else my judgment will come. And they had signs in the, what? The heavens. They were in the middle of a plague. And they were going into their second civil war. I know Jesus spoke in parables and the disciples had to say, hey, speak to us plainly. So let me speak to you plainly. We have had signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And by the way, I'm about ready to show you more of them because I haven't forgotten the four blood moons in Israel and these solar eclipses and these strange phenomena. There has been signs in the sun, moon, and stars that has been taking place. We are in the middle of a plague, and we are on, some would say we are in the middle of it already in some essence, but we could very well be on the brink of a second major civil war. All the paralleled prophetic pictures of Nineveh prior to its destruction. But again, the redemptive hope is there was the king recognized that these were signs from God. These were warnings from God. God has sent us a prophet to warn us. And the people listened to the king, and there was a call across the land of repentance, and they turned from their sins. They turned from their abominations, and God spared Nineveh, though they eventually ended up falling back into captivity and were eventually destroyed. But there was a reprieve. Wow. By the way, that solar eclipse on the 21st of August took place the first day during the 40 days of Elul, or again, Teshuvah. Look it up. That happened. Mark Biltz, he did some research on this as well, and I want to read this quote from him. I want to read what a little bit he put together. Many know the story of Jonah and Nineveh from the Bible, but not the historical background events as to what had happened, had already transpired, and why they repented. And he reiterates what I just told you about a plague that broke out, the civil war. And he went on to say, quote, an archaeological find of tablets was found in the 19th century describing events in Nineveh. A famous eclipse mentioned in tablets was known as the Barsegal eclipse, which is verified by NASA and occurred on June 15, 763 BC. The path of totality was right over Nineveh. Wow. Oh, by the way, go to Wikipedia. Somebody go there right now that's watching on Facebook Live. Go to Wikipedia, look up the New Madrid earthquake, 1811, 1812. Start typing some stuff in. Start researching. You will discover, mark my words, it's there. I've researched it. There was a comet. Golly, this is messing me up. There was a comet seen over the skies prior to the New Madrid earthquakes of 1811, 1812. Look it up. Go find it. It's going to blow you out of the water. Again, signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth, distress of nations, earthquakes, plagues, pestilences. Whew. Remember, I told you, remember the 400 year. The 400 year reign of the Turkish Empire. This celestial event that's getting ready to take place on December 21st, some say that it has not happened since 400 years ago. Did you know that on November 11th of this year, last week, America reached a 400 year cycle. It was 400 years since the Mayflower arrived in the Provincetown Harbor. 400 years. Wow. So America had just seen her 400-year mark. Why is it significant? Because I wish I could pull this book up, but there's a book in circulation out there. Somebody, no doubt a historian who loves history, went and did some research on the average cessation of empires or the average lifespan of empires. And he discovered that the average lifespan of an empire, whether it be the Babylonian Empire, the Medes and Persians, the Grecian Empire, these empires lasted an average across the board. The average lifespan before they were destroyed from within or destroyed from without, 400 years. And I'm telling you, God is sounding the alarm in the sun, moon, and stars. So we talked about signs in the sun. Let's talk about signs in the moon. On April 3rd, 1996, a full lunar eclipse appeared over Jerusalem and was caught on, was photographed. I couldn't give you the picture, by the way, because I don't have the copyrights of that. It was the Jerusalem Post, which is an affiliate out of Jerusalem, captured this. And the Post said, quote, the moon of blood, again, April 3rd, 1996, blood moon over Jerusalem. On September 26th of that same year, A second blood moon created a blood-like image and was visible in Jerusalem on the eve of the Feast of Tabernacles. And then on March 23rd, 1997, a third lunar eclipse took place 6 months later during Purim. Are you kidding me? On March 23rd, 1997, which is a celebration to remember when Queen Esther defeated the wicked plans of Haman and spared the Jewish people. So three lunar eclipses occurred within 1 year on or around the three Jewish feast days is rare and unheard of. I'm going to give you a quote here. The fact that a blood moon appeared twice the same year and fell on first and last feast of Israel was a cosmic sign from God impending trouble in Israel. The ancient belief was that a blood moon or a lunar eclipse could symbolize bloodshed, war, trouble, or an omen. Since 1996, Israel has been involved in nonstop onslaughts of attacks from both Islamic terrorist organizations, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, so on and so forth. Thousands of Israeli citizens have died as a result of the continual attacks. June 15, 2011, a blood moon was visible only in Israel and parts of Africa and the Middle East, as well as parts of Asia and Australia. 1 month prior to this, in May, President Barack Obama, who was president then, proposed dividing Jerusalem and putting it back to the pre-67 borders. Israel since then has been surrounded by Arab uprisings and fiery rhetoric to destroy the nation. As the prophetic war of Psalm 83 looks to be being laid out in its groundwork. So let me... bear with me for a second, guys, because I must have got this mixed up. Let me go back over here to, here we go. Then, let me pull this back here for a second. Then we had, this was phenomenal. And I want to read this. I want to pull up a graphic here because I want you to see this before I share this with you. What you see here is four blood moons. On July 14th, many of our partners of our ministry will remember this. You guys know that I'm not embellishing it. I'm not making this up. In fact, I have this documented on, I've got it documented and I pulled it up and this is where I've got this. On July 14th, 2010, I had a dream and I want to share this with you. This again, this was 10 years ago on July 14th. About 3:15 in the morning, I had this vision. I call it a vision dream. I believe it was a dream. Some say it was a vision, but I'm not going to argue. Nevertheless, I believe it was from the Lord. It was only about 2 minutes long, but in this dream, I was standing in a field and looked up and saw four blood moons. So in the dream, I was standing in a field. I looked up in the sky. And I looked in one direction and I saw a blood moon. And then I looked in another direction, saw a blood moon. In all four compasses, north, south, east, west, I saw a blood moon, a blood moon, a blood moon, and a blood moon. I then heard a voice speaking, but saw no man. And the voice spoke and said, four blood moons. And then I heard the four judgments of the earth are earth, wind, rain, and fire. The voice proceeded to say, there is north, south, east and west. And then I woke up again. This was July 14th, 2010. I knew right off that this was a vision from the Lord because of all the symbolisms that was in it. First, I understood that the field represents the world according to Matthew chapter 13. And then I understood that the Lord, in many cases, according to the word, and even this day, he uses the four elements mentioned as selective judgments on the earth. For example, earthquakes, wildfires, tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, earth, wind, water, fire. The two things that troubled me the most about this vision was the number four being mentioned so much. Again, four blood moons, north, south, east, west. The four judgments of God are this, this, and this. Here's what I discovered when I did my research. There are four seasons. There's four corners of the earth, four kinds of living creatures, four riders of the apocalypse, which is the four horsemen. There's four winds mentioned. So thus, the number four strongly is connected to and affects the world or planet. There is also 4 years in a presidential term. Here's what blew me away. So, of course, that morning when I woke up, that Wednesday morning, I said four blood moons. I knew that it was physically impossible to have four blood moons in the sky at any given time. So I began to research. I went to Google, typed in four blood moons, and nobody was talking about this. Jonathan Cahn didn't have a book about this. John Hagee didn't have a book about this. Mark Bilch didn't have a book about this. So I typed it in, and all of a sudden I saw, when I typed in four blood moons, Mark Bilch popped up, but this was before he wrote a book. There was a YouTube video. So I said, Mark Bilch. I didn't even know who Mark Bilch was. So I watched this video, and he began to talk about how the Lord had revealed to him that there's these titrads, which is a sequence of four blood moons that were about to occur. They've occurred in history, but they were about to occur again in 2014 and 2015. And when I watched this, I literally was about melting in my chair and about fell out. The fear of the Lord hit me. Now, I want to recap what he said real quick, because again, and we're almost done, guys. I got a few more things I want to show you. In the period of 1967 and 1968, on April 24th, 67, there was a full blood moon over Israel. In October 18th, 1967, full blood moon over Israel. April 13th, 1968, and October 6th, 1968. Now, why is that significant? Because on April 24th, it was Passover. On October 18th, it was Tabernacles. On April 13th, it was Passover. And October 6th, it was Tabernacles. So all these blood moons in 67, 68, all appeared again during feast days. Then I discovered that it happened again. On April 13, 1949, October 7, 1949, April 2, 1950, September 26, 1950, all four blood moons in that 2 year span of time. And you guessed it, Passover, Tabernacles, blood moons occurred. April 2nd. But here's the thing, Mark Bilch discovered that it went all the way back to 14. And by the way, in case you didn't know this, listen to this. The titrad of the four blood moons from 49 to 50 took place during the time frame of the rebirth of the nation of Israel that happened on May 14, 1948. The 67-68 ones occurred during the time frame of the Six-Day War when Israel took Jerusalem that happened in 1967. And by the way, in 1493 to 1494, there was a series of blood moons all happening on feast days that took place during the repulsion of the Jews from Spain during the Spanish Inquisition. So here you have three times, and there was three major events. Then on April 15th, October 8th, April 4th, and September 8th, 2014, 2015, you had, again, these four blood moons. And again, this is what spawned many of the novels about people that wrote the four blood moons. And by the way, this is what also inspired us. If you see our ETH logo, there's four blood moons in there. Because when the graphic designer was asking me what kind of logo to use, I'm telling you, it because the Lord gave me this dream before everything started happening, I knew that that was significant and it was branded. Now, that's why we have trademarked our logo, our ETH logo. All right. So all that happened. Then, so you got, what am I talking about? I'm talking about these blood moons, signs in the sun, the moon, blood moon. So you have signs in the moon and in the stars. All right. So now I'm going to give you some more stuff. I told you this was going to be a heavy teaching today. 3 years before the birth of Moses, this is history, a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn occurred in the constellation Pisces. which has always been considered a sign of the nation of the Hebrews. This was interpreted as a sign that a great person would be born among the Jews. Caesar Augustus, who was the emperor at the time of Christ's birth, consulted a local oracle about this son. This is history about the birth of Christ. When wine libation was poured upon the altar, the fire leaped to the roof of the temple. The priest told Octavius, that his son would achieve greatness, adding that this had happened only one other time when Alexander the Great was sacrificing. Augustus sought the oracles to ask them how long his temple of peace he built would last, and the oracle revealed, quote, until a virgin gives birth to a child and remains a virgin. Wow. Augustus laughed, assuming this virgin birth would be impossible, assumed his temple would last forever. As time progressed and Augustus had a consultation with an oracle, a meteorite suddenly lit the dark sky, and the woman put down her books and said to Augustus, quote, listen to this, guys, this is stunning. It is a sign of the future which was revealed to you. One world is ending and another is beginning. Wow. From an ancient's perspective, she was referring to a 2150-year cycle of Aries and the ram and the inception of a cosmic sign of Pisces, the fish, and the progression of the equinox. The equinoxes. This happened at the same moment this oracle was given. Indeed, at the moment Jesus, the Son of God, was born by the Virgin Mary. And again, notice, I'm going to pull this back here, guys. Notice again that there's these signs in the heavens happening, but the majority they're not paying attention at all. They're not seeing it as a sign. They're oblivious. Their heads buried in the sand, but there's a remnant out there. Even people who didn't have a relationship with God was seeing this as signs. When from a book I pulled, by the way, I pulled this out of a book, and I want to give him credit for this. Perry Stone has a book on cosmic signs in heavens. He did a lot of research on this, so I want to give him credit to that. Don't ask me which book it is, because I've got about 1,000 books in my library, but I pulled this. I want to read this, one of his books. I think it was from a 7-book collection he did, and one of them was dedicated to signs in the heavens. Modern computer software can now trace the position of the sun, moon, and stars in history as far back as 3996 BC. According to some models, the 7 planets were in a straight line at the time of the creation of Adam. This alignment was similar to the 7 lamps sitting on top of the menorah. According to computer models, a similar alignment occurred the year that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Whoa. Let me say that again. According to computer models, a similar alignment of planets occurred the year that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. So don't miss this. There was from what these models are saying, there was planetary celestial alignments that took place, the creation of Adam. There was celestial planetary alignments in conjunction with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And on August 3rd, 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed. Are you paying attention today? On December 1st, 1997, the moon and 8 of the planets lined up in a straight line. This alignment lasted for 8 days and occurred during the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah. Wow. Also known as the Feast of Lights, from west to east, it was Pluto, Mercury, Mars, Neptune, Jupiter, and Saturn. A similar alignment also occurred again in May of 2000. This same event also occurred on May 5th, 2002. On that very day in Bethlehem at the Church Nativity where Christ was born, a siege took place involving local Islamic militants. The conclusion is, again, these are signs in the sun, moon, and stars. All right? Wow, there's so much. Let me give you this one. This one is pretty phenomenal here too. So I definitely want to, I want to share this one with you. I'm going to pull this back up here again because I want you to hear what I'm going to say here. Many rabbis believe that planetary alignments are omens and prophetic foreshadowing and harbingers, as well as comets. These often appeared several years before major wars or disasters. In ancient history, nations would enter into battle after a comet was observed in the heavens. One of the first comets to ever be named was discovered by Sir Edmund Halley, named Halley's Comet. It reappears every 78 years. Researchers note that this comet appeared in 12 BC at the time that Herod was extending the temple platform in Jerusalem. It then reappeared in 66 AD, 4 years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. In the 20th century, the comet streaked through the heavens in 1910, and it was just 4 years prior to the outbreak of World War I. More recently, this comet was seen on the Earth in 1986, 4 years before the Persian Gulf conflict took place in 1991. On August 9th, 1994, a comet, I believe it's called Khoutik, was in our solar system. During that time, all nine leaders of the common market fell and President Nixon left office following the Watergate scandal. August 9th, 1974 also fell on the 9th of Av, which is the most dreaded and negative day on all of the Hebrew calendar. Again, this is interesting. Then on April 27, 1993, there was a discovery of a large comet called Halbop. On the Hebrew calendar, that day of April 27, 1993, it was the 6th of Iyar, some 45 years prior, on the same date of the Hebrew calendar, the British mandate over Palestine ended. Here's what's interesting. On our regular calendar day, this was May 15th, 1948. Again, the same time frame that, are you listening to me, that Israel was reborn as a nation. This Halbop comet was eventually seen the entire year of 1998. And here's what is stunning. According to Bob Wadsworth, a Christian astronomer, the last time this comet was seen by the human eye was 4,200 years ago, approximately the same time that Noah was building the ark. Listen, I know some of y'all's brain is just fried right now. There is so much in this, guys. If you come on, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. According to Cedar Olam Rabbah, an ancient Jewish text, a comet did appear in the heavens at the time of Noah. So they say they have it recorded and documented. There was a comet in the heavens at the time of at the time Noah was building the ark, some 4,200 years later, this same comet is visible at the time, again, in our time frame, but it goes back to the time that Noah was being warned that a flood was coming. And Jesus said, I want to warn you, Matthew 24:37-39, as it was in the days of Noah's were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that Noah were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So there's so much, guys. I don't even want, I'm going to skip over most of this because I know we've been going on. We'd be on here for 2 hours and I don't want to do that. Let me get to this last part and then we're going to close with this because this is a lot of, I should have really did a two-part series on this. According to the writings of Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, in the book called The Jewish War, he prefaced that there were signs that took place prior to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. He said, according to Josephus, there were seven signs that occurred. And let me talk about those seven signs, because you've heard me talk about this. When you study this, you'll discover that there was two groups of people. There was one group of there, when these signs begin to take place, there was one group of people that said these were signs of great prosperity and favor and blessing upon the land from the Lord. But then there was another group of individuals who were the prophets, the watchmen, and they were saying these are not signs of prosperity. These are not signs of jubilation and great blessing. These are warnings from God that great judgment was about to come upon the land. And we know now that history foretells that the prophets were in the right, and the false prophets and the people that didn't want to hear that were in the wrong. And I'm going to let you guess today who's the majority. You turn on Christian television today. You go to the Christian bookstore. You look online. Look at the number one best-selling Christian novels. It's not about warnings from God. It's not about getting right with God. It's not about turning back to God. It's not about the signs and the sun, moon, and stars. And God is beckoning the call and warning us to turn back to Him. No, it's the total opposite. It's eat, drink, and be merry. For God is with us, and there's great prosperity, and there's great jubilation. But never let me talk about this. Quote, this is from Josephus. Thus, it was that the wretched people were deluded at the time by charlatans and pretended messengers of the deity, while they neither heeded nor believed in the manifest portents that foretold the coming desolation, but as if thunderstruck and bereft of eyes and mind, disregarded the plain warnings of God. Wow. Josephus said these people were... they were drunk with excess. They were drunk with prosperity. They were drunk by their charlatans and false prophets of their day. And they disregarded the plain warnings of God. He said the plain warnings of God. Number one, let me give you these. I want to give you these seven things that happened. And we're going to end this program today. Number one, there was a great comet or meteor that was seen, oh, come on, somebody, was seen in the skies in Jerusalem in 66 AD, 4 years prior. Listen to this quote. So it was when a star that resembled a sword stood over the city of Jerusalem, and a comet which continued for a full year. Wow. Again, Matthew 24:30, Jesus said, there will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now the preterists, these are the individuals who teach and believe that all the signs of Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, all these signs occurred in 70 AD. Some of these did, yes. But listen, prophecy can have a dual application, dual meaning, and dual fulfillment. So to say that this was Matthew 24:30 is just not true, because the Son of Man has not returned from heaven, and every eye has not seen Him, and every tongue confessed, and every knee have bowed to Him. That's just not happened. However, for those who in that day would see this, they would believe, they could see how this would, that they believe would be fulfilled. Number two, let me recap this. There was a great star or a comet or meteor that was seen for one full year over the city of Jerusalem before the destruction of the temple. Again, and then number two sign, Josephus said, quote, so again, when before the revolt and the commotion that led to war, at the time when the people were assembling for the feast of unleavened bread on the eighth of the month of Nisan at the ninth hour of the night at 3 a.m., a brilliant light shone round the holy altar in the sanctuary of the temple that it seemed to be broad daylight. And this continued for a space of a half hour. By the inexperienced, this was regarded as a good omen. But by the sacred scribes, it was at once interpreted in accordance with after and latter events. I want to say that again. Josephus said that to the inexperienced, this was regarded as a, quote, good omen. But he said by the sacred scribes, or what we call today the sons of Issachar or the watchmen, they interpreted this as the latter events. In other words, this was not a good sign. This was an omen from God that judgment was upon them. Number three, this is really bizarre. Josephus said, quote, at the same feast, just after the second sign, which was the great light at the altar, a cow that had been brought by someone for sacrifice gave birth to a lamb in the midst in the court of the temple. Again, a cow gave birth to a lamb. Again, bizarre signs. Number four, Josephus said, quote, the eastern gate of the inner court, it was of brass and very massive, and when closed towards evening could scarcely be moved by 20 men, fastened with iron-bound bars on each side. It had bolts which were sunk to a great depth into threshold consisting of a solid block of stone. This gate was observed at the sixth hour of the night, according to Josephus, which was at midnight. Golly, the midnight hour, guys. Come on, read Matthew 25. To have opened this gate, according to Josephus, opened on its own accord. The watchman of the temple ran and reported the matter to the captain, and he came up and with difficulty succeeded in shutting the door. Again, this door, this gate of the temple, by the way, Jesus Christ himself will come through that eastern gate at his second coming. That took 20 men to open and fasten this door, supernaturally opened on its own. Josephus said this again to the uninitiated seemed the best of omens, as they supposed that God had opened to them the gate of blessings. Come on, don't that sound like today? I'm telling you, you see a hurricane break out on the East Coast, or an earthquake hit on the West Coast, or these wildfires over here, or the plagues happen over here, and you got these dummies, these false prophets get up, and they say, oh, this is a sign from God. Those fires that are burning, come on, they're destroying homes, they're wiping out land, and they're killing people. They'll say, this is a great sign from God that the fires of revival are going to sweep through the nation. It irritates the, no pun intended, but it irritates the fire out of me. I get so tired of hearing that. A tsunami can hit the East Coast and wipe out half the cities of the East Coast. And you'll have some false prophet get up on Elijah's list, no doubt. And he'll say, the Lord spoke to me and said, thus is a tsunami struck and wiped out the East Coast. A tsunami of God's glory is going to strike the East Coast. Come on, man. Really? This, again, there's no new thing. Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. That which was, which shall be. These prophets were in the times of Jeremiah. They were around when Isaiah was around. They were around when Josephus was around. Josephus understood that same stuff. And he said, I'm going to read it again. They supposed that God had opened to them the gate of blessings. No. But listen, quote, but the learned understood that the security of the temple was dissolving of its own accord, and that the opening of the gate meant a present to the enemy, interpreting this as a sign in their own minds as indicative of coming desolation. In other words, the prophets understood this as their security was crumbling around them. I know this is a lot. Number five. Let me get to the number five sign. Josephus said, quote, again, not many days after the festival, on the 21st of Iyar, which is at the late spring, there appeared a miraculous phenomenon passing belief. Indeed, what I'm about to relate would, I imagine, have been deemed a fable. if it were not for the narratives of eyewitnesses and for the subsequent calamities which deserve to be signalized as a great sign before sunset. For before sunset throughout all parts of the country of Judea, chariots of fire were seen in the air and armed battalions hurtling through the clouds and encompassing the cities. So in other words, Josephus said that before the destruction of the temple, there were chariots seen in the skies, in the heavens, with armed battalions. No doubt, what I believe he saw was the armies of heaven. I believe it was angelic beings. Number six. Moreover, at the feast, which is called Pentecost, the priest, all 24 of them, on entering the inner court of the temple by night, as their custom was in the discharge of their ministrations, but reported that they were conscious first of a commotion and a great noise, and after that of a voice as of a host and army, we are departing from hence. In other words, they said they heard many voices speaking. And Josephus said these priests reported a great noise and that of a voice of a host of an army said, quote, we are departing from here. And then number seven, and this is where I want to end this. Quote, but a further portent was even more alarming. 4 years before the war in 62 CE, when the city was enjoying profound peace and prosperity, there came to the feast at which it was the custom of all Jews to erect tabernacles to God. One of the name Yeshua, son of Ananias, a rude peasant who standing in the temple suddenly began to cry out, quote, a voice from the east, a voice from the west, a voice from the four winds, a voice against Jerusalem and the sanctuary, a voice against the bridegroom and the bride, a voice against all the people. Day and night, he went about all the alleys with this cry of his lips. Some of the leading citizens incensed all these ill omen words, arrested this man and severely chastised him. But he, without a word on his own behalf or for the private ear of those who smote him, only continued his cries as before. Quote, thereupon the magistrate, supposing, as was indeed the case, the man was under some supernatural impulse, brought him before the Roman governor. There, although flayed to the bone with scourges, he neither sued for mercy nor shed a tear, but merely introduced the more mournful of variations into his words from his mouth, responded to each stroke with woe to Jerusalem. When the Roman governor asked him who he was and whence he came forth and why he uttered these cries, he answered him never a word, but uncreasingly reiterated his dirge over the city until Albinus, pronounced him a maniac and let him go. During the whole period up to the outbreak of the war, he neither approached nor was he talking to any of the citizens, but daily, like a prayer, repeated as a lament, woe unto Jerusalem. He neither cursed at any of those who beat him from day to day, nor blessed those who offered him food. To all men that continually ridiculed him, his one reply, his cries were loudest at all the festivals. For the 7 years and 5 months, he continued as well, his voice never flagging nor his strength exhausted, until the siege, having seen his proceeds verified, he found his rest. For while going his round and shouting in piercing tones from the wall, woe once more to the city and to the people and to the temple, as he added a last word, and woe to me as well, a stone hurtled from a ballista struck and killed him on the spot. So with those ominous words still on his lips, he passed away. So again, some of you guys thought that Josephus was talking about Jesus, the Messiah, or Yeshua, the Messiah. But what he's saying was there was a prophet that came and was warning the people. So again, I want to close with this today, guys. I know we've went long. This is a longer than usual broadcast, but this was one of our heaviest prophetic words that we've probably given in probably years. As of the date today, it is November 28th. I believe we are heading into, it's going to be very interesting to see what's coming next year. And by the way, on the Jewish calendar, we're already into the next year. But on the Gregorian calendar, on our calendar, we are nearly a month away until we head into 2021. What's going to happen? Are we seeing a final harbinger? Are we seeing yet another harbinger in the heavens? Don't mark out the blood moons. Don't mark them off and saying that that was all. That didn't mean anything. Friends, I'm telling you, you may have forgotten about them and you may be overlooking them, but God, but the Lord said to a group of Jewish people there, the religious folks in his day, he said, you hypocrites, you can look at the skies and the heavens. You can see the skies and you can see a storm coming and you know that a storm's coming by the way the sky looks. But he said, but you can't discern the times and seasons in which we're in. Did you know Daniel the prophet said, as we get closer and closer to the time of the end, the Bible says, Daniel said that the wicked will become more blind and more oblivious to these things. They will not have discernment. But he said, but the righteous who are in tune with him, in tune with the word, in tune with the Holy Spirit, they will know, recognize, discern, and understand. And I will take it a step further, and they will warn of the times and seasons in which we're in. So friends, again, I want to thank you today for taking this time out today to be a part of this broadcast and our special message today. Again, don't forget to follow us at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main landing page. Again, I want to encourage you to follow us. If you are on any major social media network, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, USA.life, and MeWe. I want to encourage you to follow us if you've not followed us yet. I want you to subscribe to our main website. You can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can just click on that little banner right there that you see, or go to the top menu bar and click on subscribe. You'll get one daily digest in your inbox every single day, and it's going to notify you of all, it's going to give you an update on all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective as well. Don't forget to get our free ETH app. It's available on Android and Apple, and it's free for your convenience. You can download that app, get it to your hands, get the push notifications. You'll have all of our headlines there. You're going to get our podcast there, our YouTube channel there. You're going to have every single bit of that right there in your hands. You guys watching by YouTube and by Facebook, don't forget to go to our podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast. It's available on Spotify and Apple. Just go to the search bar, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademark logo there at ETH, End Time Headlines. Click on that. Again, subscribe to us there on our podcast. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, it's informed you, it's equipped you, it's edified you, it's done all that on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry, either a one-time gift or pray about becoming a monthly partner so you can help us remain strong. Again, it's through the help of our partners and our givers to our ministry that we're able to continue to do this full-time. We do this full-time with the news, the headlines, the information, the updates, the equipping messages, the whole nine yards. This is a ministry reaching people around the world, and all of our messages are free. Our YouTube message are free. Our podcasts are free. Our subscription base is free. Our app is free. Everything is free. All we ask is that you be obedient to what the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. And if you wish to give electronically, you can do that on our main website. You can do it through our app, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines right there on your screen, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And as always, guys, we thank you for coming on to the broadcast today, taking the time out today on this weekend edition of this on this Saturday, I really appreciate that. You didn't have to do that on a Saturday to take the time out, but I believe that many of you have been blessed by this message. So we love you guys. God bless you. We will be back on here next week with more updates and more messages. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless you guys. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.